This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is the great day of the historic New Hampshire primary. And this one could be as historic as any. It could actually decide the nomination fight for the Republican nomination for president. It's down to two candidates, Donald John Trump and Nikki Haley. And Nikki is her given middle name, by the way, not Nimarata. That's her given first name. We are speaking now to James Pindell. He was on the show before. He is a crack political reporter for the Boston Globe, and I believe he's standing outside a polling place in New Hampshire. It's not too freezing cold now, is it, James?
You know, the sun's starting to come down. It's starting to get colder again, but these are not temperatures that are keeping people out. This is a normal, typical late January day in New Hampshire.
I know the Secretary of State has predicted a big turnout. When you're watching people coming to the polls, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bold prediction given the fact that the energy level all week has been pretty low. But there's been a healthy stream. This is about a normal to... I'd say a midterm general election level, not a primary level. So this is pretty solid. It may actually set the record.
And that's despite the fact that there is no real race on the Democratic side. On the Democratic side, one of the things that I've heard, which is hard to believe, is apparently there are some people who are turning out to vote for Marianne Williamson for president.
Yeah, I don't think that today we're going to be watching exactly where Marianne Williamson or, say, Dean Phillips still feels. No, but seriously, I do think there is potential tonight that the Democratic primary, which is existing, just doesn't count for anything, according to the Democratic National Committee, that it could be the story of the night. The question we all want to know is, where does Joe Biden fit in all of this? He's not on the ballot. There are 21 other Democrats who are. A lot of these are just regular people who meet the constitutional requirement of being a natural born citizen, 35 years old, and paid $1,000 to the New Hampshire Secretary of State. But keep in mind that Barack Obama in 2012, when he was running for re-election, got 81% of the vote. So it's not like Joe Biden's going to get 90. At the same time, polls show him around 63%. If that number gets closer to 50, Joe Biden has a huge political problem. Democrats are already nervous about him in general. But if he gets higher than that, 70, then he can tell a lot of Democrats, look, I got this. New Hampshire, of course, is a swing state. Democratic enthusiasm does matter. So it actually is something I am watching today.
And in terms of the Republican side, is there, President Trump has assembled, I think it was in Laconia, he had Tim Scott, who announced his engagement, and he had Doug Burgum, former governor, or the outgoing governor of North Dakota, and Vivek Ramaswamy, everyone's favorite. Well, I'm glad you're laughing. It was meant sarcastically. Okay, has that generated, is there excitement to the point of hysteria on Team Trump?
No, there is not. There is people who definitely want him. You ask voters, and that's what I love about the job. I'm talking to voters who are voting. That's why I go to polling places. What Trump is clearly trying to do is create inevitability all week. It's the reason why he had so many leaders from South Carolina, including the governor, fly up to a rally in New Hampshire to say, look, this thing's over. And if you want to continue to go on to your home state, Nikki Haley, it's still over. I got such a, crowd. And you mentioned the Laconia rally last night where he's basically saying, look, I mean, who am I going to pick for vice president? Here are some options because I'm obviously the nominee with the real point to all that. Look, I'm New Hampshire often surprises us. You know this. You've spent time here. Hillary Clinton also was behind by double digits to Barack Obama in 2008. She pulled off that stunning night. Now, she wasn't down this much. And the other thing about Hillary is that she allowed herself to have moments. She had an amazing debate. Of course, Nikki Haley refused to have debates. She cried, of course, and I was with her when she did that, by the way, at a Portsmouth diner years ago. So Nikki Haley has had short events. Her final event last night was in a Republican-rich town, Salem, on the Massachusetts border. But it lasted 34 minutes, and she didn't take questions. And this is not exactly a candidate who's out there appearing like an underdog who wants to fight for every vote.
And what do you think if she, in my own mind, I use the Eugene McCarthy line of 43%.
Yeah.
If Nikki Haley gets 43%, you think she will actually do what she says and continue her campaign and continue to compete and try to come from behind in South Carolina?
That's the great question. I do think that there has been general consensus in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 days that given that she's down by 20 points and pretty consistently in polls, if she is somehow surprises and gets within single digits, this campaign can go on. But again, I want to stress that no one drops out of their race for president because they lose a state or don't do so well in terms of the margins. They get out because they're broke. And so her main argument now is obviously to Republican donors on can you fund me? This South Carolina primary, by the way, will be unprecedented in the sense that we've never had a gap of 31 days between the New Hampshire primary and South Carolina. We talked about the brutal one in 2000 between George W. Bush and John McCain. That was only 3 weeks. This is 31 days, and she's going to have to be able to sustain an onslaught of charges and continue to raise money for Super Tuesday right after that. And that's going to be a tall order.
And she won't have Chris Sununu, who apparently has been accompanying her everywhere. He's not going to be meaningful in South Carolina.
I mean, he made it to Iowa, so well, for all I know, he'll come out there. And, you know, look, she doesn't have a lot of people endorsing her in South Carolina. Maybe she needs it.
Yeah, maybe she can get Asa Hutchinson, was just on our show.
There you go.
Who's the only former GOP candidate who has endorsed Nikki Haley. If here's a question a little bit in advance, but you clearly know New Hampshire. It has gone to the Democratic side in presidential elections, has not shown support for Donald Trump in previous general elections. If Trump is the nominee, do you think he has a chance of carrying the Granite State?
Yes, actually, I do. I mean, he narrowly lost in 2016, pretty roundly defeated in 2020 here. But where New Hampshire leans blue, and you're right, it does lean blue, when there's a when there's a Democratic incumbent, this state gets super duper competitive. We saw in 2012, as I mentioned earlier, the closing night was where it was Mitt Romney holding a big rally in the state. The day before that was Barack Obama. I mean, this is a hotly contested area when there's a Democratic incumbent. So I do think that this state will be competitive. It's obviously not one of the big six that we talk about. There's only four electoral votes, so I have to go where they're at. But I can see this being competitive.
James Pindell, you can read some of his pieces, which are tremendously informative. You've done a terrific job, my friend, in covering this New Hampshire primary. It's at michaelmedved.com, James Pindell with the Boston Globe, their crack political reporter. Coming up on the Medved Show, we're going to be talking about another series of nominations that are producing some controversy. The Oscar nominations were announced this morning. And there's also a fascinating column with an interview with David French, who is one of the leading conservative voices in the commentariat. He writes for the New York Times. What is a never-Trumper like David French planning to do as the election continues to unfold? We'll talk about that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Receive 50% off by becoming a MedHead member.
Look, it's a no-brainer.
Join now at michaelmedved.com. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. You should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
And on the Michael Medved show, I had mentioned earlier in the show that there was some good news from abroad, and regardless of what happens in the primary in New Hampshire, which is the subject of worldwide attention because, again, figures like President Trump and President Biden are worldwide celebrities. I mean, there are arguments that President Trump, who gets a great deal of attention with his court cases, gets that attention because he could be the biggest living celebrity. And this actually has some direct impact on President Trump. And I think I would hope that he would agree that this is very good news, though given his attitude toward NATO, I'm not sure. The after 20 months of demands, and this is reported by the Washington Post, obstruction and delay, the Turkish parliament today voted in favor of Sweden joining NATO, clearing one of the final hurdles for a major expansion of the military alliance that was set in motion by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. You may remember that two really wonderful Scandinavian countries, and Sweden is a wonderful country, so is Finland. Finland is already accepted and incorporating into NATO. Sweden now will, because they needed the approval of all the 35 other members of NATO. In any event, it had been held up because of claims by Erdogan, the president, a virtual dictator of Turkey, that the Swedes were helping Kurdish rebels, and that was an unfriendly act toward Turkey, which is a member of NATO, has been for more than a half century. In any event, the Turkish objections have gone away, and Sweden now will be joining NATO. Another item from AP, it was just broadcast moments ago, the Associated Press National Opinion Research Center for Public Affairs, which is also affiliated with the University of Chicago, did a poll in late December where they found that 58% of Americans, a very clear majority, and this is of Republicans, Democrats, everybody, felt that they would be dissatisfied or at least somewhat dissatisfied if Donald Trump wins the GOP nomination. And by the way, 56%, just slightly less, said they would be very or somewhat dissatisfied if Biden wins the Democratic nomination. In other words, you have this situation, depending on what happens tonight and today in New Hampshire, where you would have a total of nearly 60% of the American public that is disappointed with both parties, and which gives a little bit of a push to those people, other people besides Cornel West and Robert Kennedy Jr. And, well, Marianne Williamson is not running for an independent race for president. She's actually running as a Democrat in the New Hampshire primary. But there is commentary today by Joe Manchin, who has been frequently talked about as a potential third-party candidate. Do we have that there, Jeremy? Okay. He now is... Again, he's in the midst of doing his listening tour of America. I know that in the polling so far, and of course he remains unknown to many Americans. He's a senator from West Virginia, which is a small state that isn't really the top of mind to consciousness for most people. But he's getting 3% when his name appears on potential ballots, and that compares to the 17 to 20% that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is getting. But could this be, as a number of observers have said, the kind of election that ends up with a lot of third party votes? And yes, it could indeed. There was a more about the aid to Israel, which also I've heard many, many objections to the aid to Israel. But the one objection that I wasn't expecting and seems brand new is an objection about the carbon emissions that are involved by providing aid to Israel with its fight to protect itself against murderous terror attacks like what occurred on October 7th. This is a reporter asking the White House's John Kirby, Admiral Kirby, if the White House has been considering the impact of the carbon emissions by providing Israel's aid. Listen, clip 13.
Just a quick question about whether the administration includes environmental impact assessments in calculating how to support allies like Israel and Ukraine. Just for reference, we interviewed some environmental experts who estimated that in the last 60 days, U.S. supply flights to Israel contributed to 133,000 metric tons of CO2 emissions. That's a lot, right? So is that part of the calculation that you make, and how do you balance your desire to protect the environment with your desire to protect your allies?
I know of no, and I'm happy to take this question, I know of no mathematical analysis that we're conducting at an agency level to judge the impact of using jet fuel, for instance, to fly support to Ukraine or get it into the region for Israel. Again, I'll take that question, but we're focused, rightly so, on making sure that our two partners have what they need to defend themselves. And that's really where the president's head is.
Okay, again, when you talk about the effort of America to protect itself against another 9/11, the so-called war on terror, I don't remember people being asked, taking care of those al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan that we disrupted and attacked, did we take an environmental impact assessment of those attacks?
How dare you!
This is extraordinary. And speaking of Israel, there is a new book which concerns a lot of Israeli territory. It's about the lands of the Bible, which is mostly what is today the modern state of Israel. And an archaeologist who we've had on before, he's a terrific guy, Titus Kennedy, will be joining us. He has a new book called The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands. What about proofs or disproofs archaeologically about the stories that appear in the biblical text? That and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
You're listening to The Michael MedVet Show.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA News Update. A missile attack by Iran-backed militants in western Iraq did leave several American service members wounded at an airbase there. The Iranian-supported militias accused of launching missiles at Al-Assad Air Base Saturday. U.S. Central Command says most of the missiles were intercepted, but some did get through and hit the base. Meanwhile, one top White House national security advisor is saying that diplomatic steps have been taken to combat Houthi rebels in Yemen through peaceful means.
We've imposed sanctions on the Houthis. We have gotten dozens of countries to issue statements condemning their attacks. We've gotten a statement from the UN Security Council, a resolution condemning these attacks.
White House Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer on with ABC's This Week says U.S. and U.K. attacks will continue against the Houthi militants. The youngest son of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has died.
reportedly after a battle with prostate cancer. Dexter Scott King was 62. I'm Ryan D.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a real privilege and a pleasure to welcome back to the show Dr. Titus Kennedy, who is a field archaeologist working primarily with sites and materials of the ancient Near East and the Mediterranean world. His brand new book is called The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands, uncovering biblical sites of the ancient Near East and the Mediterranean world. And I know Dr. Kennedy because we traveled together on the last Medved tour of Israel, which took place before the pandemic, so that dates us. And in terms of archaeological dating, this book is fascinating because what it deals with is that interaction of science and history and the biblical text. Titus Kennedy is a research fellow at Discovery Institute. He is also an adjunct professor at Biola University. Titus, it's great to speak with you, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's a real pleasure. The new book is full of discoveries, both very small and very significant. If there was one new development in the world of archaeology and the world of the archaeological correspondence to material you find in the Bible, what surprised you most? What impressed you most about the recent discoveries that you're talking about?
I would say that there are a few things. So in my research, I was surprised by the amount of material in Mesopotamia that has been glossed over by many people looking into biblical history and archaeology. So cities
this
like
is today's
Uruk
Iraq,
and,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Iraq and even a little bit in Iran. But these are often left out. Because there's so much of a focus on Jerusalem or on the surrounding area, Israel and the Holy Land. But there is a lot of really incredible finds from Mesopotamia, some of which the excavations were a century ago, but others have been more recent. But major cities like Uruk and Babylon, Nineveh and Ur, and even Susa. So that was something that I came across over the years of research. But there are also a lot of new excavations that are being done or have been started fairly recently. If we look, for example, to the New Testament and the area of Turkey, Colossae is a site where they are just starting a new project, and it has never been touched before.
And what is that new project looking to uncover?
It's really looking to uncover any part of the city, because until recently, it was only surveyed. That is, people went there and they would look at the site, look at the topography, pick up some pottery or look at other artifacts that might be on the surface, and then they would make some judgments based on that. But nobody has dug it, and so that's really going to turn up a whole new set of information about this, you know, fairly major city from the Roman period and the Greek period.
I know that having traveled with you to Jericho, one of the things that was fascinating is you have done some research on the actual walls of Jericho, and there was one extraordinary detail that you found out archaeologically that really makes you wonder about that biblical account. Can you explain to folks? I think they'd be very appreciative to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jericho is one of my favorite sites, and I've done quite a bit of work regarding that. And the wall is fascinating because when the wall was first excavated, and whenever more of that wall continues to be excavated, what we find is that the bricks, the mud bricks that compose the city wall, they fell forward in front of this stone retaining wall all around the city except for a small section on the north. And this is contrary to what we would expect if there was a normal attack or a normal siege on Jericho. You might see one section of the wall battered inward by battering rams, or you might see a siege ramp constructed over the top of the wall in one section, or perhaps even a tunnel. But none of that is what you get. Instead, you get this fallen wall, basically falls upon itself, like Joshua says. And then you can use that fallen wall to climb up into the city quite easily rather than having to scale the walls.
And how did you have a, when you were doing this new book, did you have a specific focus on how it would be different from other books about biblical locations or biblical archaeology?
Yes, so what I had noticed is that most of the books about different sites or locations in the Bible and archaeological or historical books, they tended to focus exclusively on one region. Most of them, of course, are going to be on Israel and the surrounding area, but others might look at, say, Turkey or Greece. But I really couldn't find hardly any that looked at all of the Bible lands, and the ones that did only had a few locations or they were very outdated. So I thought there was a need to fill this niche and do not only all the Bible lands, but get more sites in there and get updated information.
Are there any sections of your book that you anticipate are going to generate particular controversy?
Yes, I think there are several sites where some of the information I present and some of the inferences and conclusions are definitely going to generate controversy depending on people's viewpoints. So Jericho would be one of those, as we talked about. Another would be Ai or even Hazor. So a lot of these Joshua, Judges connected sites would have some of that. Jerusalem during certain time periods as well, when we're talking about the kingdom of David and the palace of David, or even building of Solomon. So there are going to be sites that will generate more conflict or contrary discussion than others. But usually it's going to be a very specific time period or component of that site rather than the entire city or the entire entry wouldn't be filled with disagreement.
Speaking with Dr. Titus Kennedy, a field archaeologist, he's the author of the new book, The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands. He is also a research fellow at Discovery Institute here in Seattle. And when we come back, if we could, talk a little bit about some of the ways that archaeology has changed the perception that was there for many, many years that the Bible was a series of far-fetched stories with little historicity, with little proof that those stories actually had a basis in the real past. One of the things about the new book, The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands, is it brings that controversy right up to date. He talks about discoveries from more than 70 key locations and historical sites stretching across Mesopotamia, today's Iraq and a little bit of Iran, Egypt, Anatolia, in Turkey and Greece, and yes, Israel and Jordan as well. We will be right back with more from Dr. Titus Kennedy, author of The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands. Coming up on The MedVed Show.
Portions of The Michael MedVed Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about a very exciting new book, which is called The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands. And whether you are actually planning to visit those Bible lands yourself in the Middle East, or you would like to have the experience of visualizing, seeing some of the fairly amazing photographs and other reproductions that are used to illustrate the book, this is something that does indeed uncover biblical sites of the ancient Near East and Mediterranean world. The author is Dr. Titus Kennedy, a field archaeologist and a research fellow at Discovery Institute. One of the things that I think comes across in this book, and it's very much worth knowing, is that the period of time in which you're particularly interested, the period of the exodus from Egypt and the reconquest, reentry into Canaan for the Hebrew people, you date that as much earlier than a lot of previous estimates would be, going back all the way to 1446 BC. What leads to that earlier dating, and why is it particularly important?
Well, we get that date by starting with Solomon, and to get Solomon, we have to look at a lot of other connections to various kingdoms such as the Assyrians and the Babylonians and so forth. But Solomon's a good starting point because his reign is almost universally agreed upon by archaeologists and scholars. But then we look at a passage, 1 Kings 6:1, which tells us that in the fourth year of Solomon, he started to build the temple in Jerusalem. And it tells us that his fourth year was the 480th year after the Exodus from Egypt. So we're able to just do a simple calculation there. And if we're taking those as solar years or as literal years, then we get to about 1446 BC for the Exodus. As a result, there are actually quite a few scholars who take that date. But as you said, it is earlier than some popular and long-standing dates, often generally in the 13th century B.C. or the 12th century B.C., where some other scholars would place it.
You talk about Solomon and his father, King David. I know that there have been modern archaeologists and scholars who basically say these monarchs of ancient Israel did not exist, that this is all part of the legendary material in the biblical text. How do we know better based on recent discoveries?
Well, one of the biggest finds was made in 1993 at Tel Dan in northern Israel, and this is called the Tel Dan Stele. So it was a victory inscription of the Arameans, the kingdom of Damascus, enemies of Israel. And on it, they had stated that they had defeated various Israelite kings, and then they put them in connection with what's called the House of David. So they were saying they were from that royal dynasty, which King David began. And that was really the first clear evidence that we had outside of the Bible from ancient times that told us David was, in fact, a real king of Israel and the founder of the dynasty. So that was huge. And since then, there have been other discoveries like his probable palace in Jerusalem and various fortified cities around the region, which indicate that there was actually a large kingdom, not just a little city-state in Jerusalem that he ruled over.
And in terms of the existence of the temple, I know this has been a very heated political issue. There are people in the Palestinian Authority who insist that neither the first temple nor the second temple ever really existed. How do we know better?
Yeah, it's interesting how this has developed fairly recently. There wasn't so much protesting against this in the past, but it is, as you said, it's become a political issue. But we have some very powerful evidence for the temple during the time of Herod the Great, and Jesus especially, from sources like Josephus and also just from the retaining wall that Herod built and earlier versions of that from the Hasmoneans. But if we push back to the first temple, then we have some inscriptions that illuminate its existence for us, like these potsherds with writing on it called ostracon from Arad, which mention the temple, as well as a debated but possibly authentic artifact called the Jehoash tablet. And then there was a project called the Temple Mount Sifting Project that uncovered very strong evidence of sacrifices and use of the Temple Mount area going back to the time of Solomon. And one of the really important things they found there was a ring of a priest from about 600 BC. So I think archaeologically, we can really present a powerful evidence for both the first and second temples.
And what about, and this is something that people are very, I know, stunned about when they go to Israel and they go to Shiloh, because Shiloh was the location before King Solomon began the building of the first temple, where they had what is called the tabernacle, the Mishkan, that had been brought out of Egypt. And there's also been a great deal of archaeological work and discovery done there. That existed, according to the biblical text, about for 360 years before the temple was built?
Correct. And some of those excavations at Shiloh have been very important in establishing the plausibility of Shiloh as a center of worship and sacrifice specifically, because they found this massive pile of sacrificial bones, basically like a huge garbage dump. And there hasn't been a bigger one found in the region. But when those bones were analyzed, they found that none of them came from unclean animals. So that is, they fit the requirements of the Mosaic law. And this is quite different from what you would find at, say, Canaanite or Philistine sites in the region.
And so basically you're talking about turtle doves and rams and sheep. You're not talking about pigs, for instance, who might be sacrificed in other cultures.
Correct. And if you excavate at Canaanite sites, at Phoenician sites, Philistine sites, etc., you will find a lot of pig bones in the mix, but you don't find that at Israelite sites of the Iron Age, and you also don't find that in this sacrificial bone pile at Shiloh.
And how young were you when you first became fascinated by archaeology and biblical history? Is this something that has been a lifelong concern and passion of yours?
It has, in some ways, at least since elementary school. Third and fourth grade, I had my first interactions with archaeology. One was a visit to an archaeological site that had also had some rebuilding done so that you could see what this ancient village looked like. And then the next was reading a book on the excavation of Troy during the time of Heinrich Schliemann. So that got me introduced into the world [S2] Wow. [S1] Of archaeology. I found out people actually went to these locations and dug into the ground to find new things, and it was fascinating.
Well, again, that whole story of Schliemann and the discovery of Troy at a time when many experts believed Troy never existed. This was just entirely a Greek legend, and until they actually found the outlines of the city. Titus Kennedy, let's hope we can get together. I know we're talking about it. We're going to wait till the conclusion of some of the violence that's going on in the Middle East now, but to another Discovery Institute trip to Israel. And I hope you will guide us through some of the archaeological sites as you did before. His new book, Titus Kennedy's, is The Essential Archaeological Guide to Bible Lands, Uncovering Biblical Sites of the Ancient Near East and Mediterranean World. And closer to the modern day, we are about to conclude a chapter of history in New Hampshire. Polls are closing in a couple of hours. What does it all mean? We'll get to that and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Gruska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.